My name's Clive, and I'm going to tell you how I built the Pixton comic characters add-in for PowerPoint and got an MVP up and running in a day. First, I'll tell you a little bit about Pixton, and I'll explain the rationale behind the add-in, and
okay.
Then I'll go through the process of how I built the app and then tested it and submitted it to the store. First, a little bit about me. I'm a self-taught web developer. I earned a Master of Science degree studying woodpeckers. And I went on to become a freelance web developer in Vancouver, Canada. I built interactive content for high-end branding and ad agencies. And somewhere along the way, I came up with Pixton. Now, I just want to clear up some confusion about this picture. Some people think that I can shoot lasers out of my eyes. Actually, this is a picture of somebody shooting lasers into my face. All right. So Pixton is a web app for making comics. Students at school, for example, use Pixton as a writing tool. So in any subject area, for example, in English language arts, they'll study a book at school, and then they can write their book report as a comic. Or they can summarize the plot, or they can talk about a specific character. Or they can write about what they did on their summer break. So it's a very versatile visual writing tool that's used in all subject areas and across grade levels. When you make a Pixton comic, you can select from thousands of ready-made backgrounds and characters. And what's really special about Pixton is the degree of expression that you can achieve with our poseable characters. In a business context, comics can be used to really grab the reader's attention. So in a blog post, for example, or in internal communications, let's say that an email is being sent out about a policy update, and it's kind of boring stuff, but it's also very important. It's not something that a lot of people don't read. You can use comics to increase the open rate of an email and to sort of motivate people to keep reading something. In an e-learning context or in a presentation, comics and comic characters can be used, again, to increase engagement. So a lot of online course content or corporate course content might be, again, kind of mundane. By adding characters, you add an element of fun, an element of humanity, and it kind of keeps people interested and going. So this is the basic idea behind the Pixton add-in, is that you can select from a wide range of different kinds of characters in different outfits and add them directly into your PowerPoint presentation. So in this context, these characters are called pedagogical agents, or PALs for short. And research supports, for example, that when you point at something, people are more likely to read it and to remember it. So look at this this bullet point list, for example, without a PAL versus with a PAL. And the PAL is drawing your attention to something specific. And this is called the signaling function. So it seems very like a no-brainer, but it's, again, it's been supported by science. PALs can also act as co-learners. So if you're taking an online course, maybe there's a quiz, then by emoting, the PAL can kind of affirm your own feelings. Maybe you're feeling uncertain or confused, and if the PAL kind of reflects that, then you know that it's okay, and you're less likely to be discouraged, and you're more likely to be motivated to continue. I don't know the answer to that question either. So yes, with the add-in, so the add-in is over here. Oops. You select a character, and then you select an outfit for that character, and then you see the character in a variety of different poses, and you can then add that to your PowerPoint slide. And for more customization, more control, you can sign up to our service and create any kind of graphic that you want, and then access anything that you create in your Pixton account within the add-in as well, and add that into your presentation. So let me talk about now how I built the add-in. And if you're not familiar with Office add-ins, the structure of them is very, very simple. They're basically a manifest file and a web app. The manifest file is an XML file with a specific structure. It contains key information about the app, like the title and the entry point URL. And then you've got a web app. You can build it with whatever framework, whatever languages you like. If you can build a web app, then you can easily make an add-in. Microsoft has developed a user interface paradigm called Fabric. So this enables you to have a look and feel in your add-in that's consistent with the overall Office experience. If you have your own UI components already and it doesn't make sense to duplicate their functionality, you can use Fabric Core and just apply the styles to your components. There are also UI components for iOS, Angular, and React. And if you don't use any of those frameworks, which was the case for me, then you can use Fabric.js, which is CSS, JavaScript, and some HTML that you can use to create these fully functional UI components very easily. A small tip, if you do use Fabric.js and you go to the Fabric.js website, you'll see a list of the CSS and JavaScript files that you have to include. And if you're like me, you're impatient, you copy it, go and paste it, and off you go. However, there's a note below that says that the latest version is actually 1.4, and so you need to update your URLs accordingly, otherwise you'll end up using an old version. Now, to be fair, I did alert Microsoft to this fact recently, and as I understand, if it's not already been updated, this page is going to be updated soon. And so it's great that Microsoft is receptive and responsive to feedback from developers. That's awesome. Okay, so what other dependencies does the add-in have? Office.js, this is the API that you use to communicate with the host application and to interact with the Office document. And there's a debug version that you can use in development. And there's an optional Office helpers file. This contains helper functions, for example, to detect the host application that the add-in is running in or the platform. Other dependencies in my case were jQuery, the lazy load plugin, JS cookie, and then there's a single Pixton JavaScript file. I used Clojure Compiler to minimize and obfuscate it for production, and then a Pixton CSS file, which I also minimized for production. So like I said, you can use whatever frameworks you want to develop what is essentially a web app, a one-page website. And of course, you can use any development environment, such as Visual Studio, Sublime Text, etc. Microsoft has also developed some user experience design patterns to help you create your add-in. And just like UI Fabric, these are not mandatory, but I highly recommend that you use them. It will save you time. So they've got UX design patterns for entire screens, like a loading screen. They've got patterns for the first run experience screen, which is what has to show up the first time the user launches the add-in. They've got UX patterns for sequences of screens, like an authentication flow, for example, and also for components, like buttons in a navigation bar. So all of this, these are templates that I recommend that you use when you're building your add-in. So for the Pixton add-in, I created a single kind of main HTML container that loads the dependencies, and a simple loading screen while it's loading the first run experience. This is the first run experience screen, and a requirement of any add-in is that in this screen you have to communicate a very clear value proposition, and ideally also identify the steps that the user has to go through to realize that value. And once that's loaded, you can set a cookie so that subsequently when the user loads the add-in again, it's not shown. I also, in this main container, include any UI components that need to be available through the lifetime of the add-in. So a dialog component, for example, using Fabric.js, you just include some HTML, and then there's a single line of code to instantiate the dialog when you're initializing your add-in. And then you can, of course, use that that component whenever you need it. So it's very simple. With the Pixton add-in, you select a character, an outfit, and a pose, and you insert that into your presentation. And what you're doing is inserting an image. So to insert an image into PowerPoint, you can use the set selected data async method on the Office document object. And you pass the image source to that, so Base64 encoded string. And then you have the option of positioning the image and sizing it. And here's somewhere where I found those Office helpers functions useful, because I discovered that the pixel height of the document was different in Office Online versus the desktop version, so I could use that to size and position the image accordingly. Once the image is inserted into the document, it's beyond the control of the add-in. The user, of course, can flip it or move it, resize it, just as they would with any image that they've inserted. So once you're happy with the features and functionality of your add-in, you have to test it, namely on these platforms. In my case, I use a Mac, and I didn't readily have ready access to different versions of Windows and Office. So if you don't, I recommend using something like VirtualBox, and Microsoft has made available free virtual machines that you can download for different versions of Windows. So I ran PowerPoint 2013 Service Pack 1 on Windows 7 and PowerPoint 2016 and Office Online in like IE11 on Windows 10. I could do all of that on the same machine, so that was very convenient. One disadvantage is that the performance isn't going to be as good. So if you really need to see kind of the level of graphic performance, so the responsiveness as your add-in, so specifically in Windows, then of course it would be better to use an actual Windows machine. When you're testing your add-in, you have to load it into Office, and the method to do that varies depending on what platform you're on. It's easiest by far in Office Online. So with Office Online, you just upload your manifest file, and then you're good to go. You can use the JavaScript console in the browser to debug. Really easy. Contrast that with PowerPoint 2013. You put your manifest file into a folder, share the folder, you open Office, you make that folder a trusted catalog, close Office, open it again, and then you have to sideload your add-in. So it's, you know, quite a few steps, but once you get the hang of it, it's not too bad. PowerPoint iOS, so if your add-in works on the other platforms, it will probably work in PowerPoint iOS, which is a native app. However, because of Apple's restrictive rules, you're not allowed to promote anything for sale in your add-in. You're not even allowed to link to a website, for example, that promotes anything for sale. So you're faced with the choice of either, you know, excluding certain features or functionality in iOS or not making your add-in available for iOS. And I chose the latter. PowerPoint 2016. So if you have Visual Studio, debugging is quite straightforward. If you don't, you can use something called F12 Chooser. And this allows you to sort of target the embedded add-in within the Office application and expose the JavaScript console. However, there's a catch-22, and that is that you can't launch F12 Chooser until your add-in is launched. So if you're trying to debug the initialization sequence, as I was trying to do, I did a hack where I set a timeout so that I had time to load F12 Chooser after launching the add-in, and then it initialized. So once you've tested your add-in and it's working on all these platforms, you're ready to submit it to the Office Store for review. Microsoft has published some very clear rules as to, you know, the criteria by which your add-in will be assessed. I highly recommend that you read them. If you follow all the rules, you should be able to get your add-in approved the first time around. I didn't get my add-in approved the first time around, and then again, I didn't read the validation policies carefully enough. So don't make the same mistake as I did. So that's my story. I encourage you to go to PowerPoint and try the Pixton Comic Characters add-in. It's available for free in the Office Store. And if you have any questions, certainly feel free to ask them now or talk to me afterwards or send me an email. Thank you.